me. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for the final Friday of February. Today is February the 26th, 2021. We are on 1030. Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The radio station is KVOI. We have worldwide live listening podcasts of all of our shows available and a 10-year archive of programs at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Friday is big shout-out day to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Thank you. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. A big thank you as well. The Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Attorney Laura Conover, a Democrat and 2005 UA Law School graduate. Ms. Conover's election victory in November marked the first real change in leadership in the Pima County Attorney's Office in more than 40 years. It also marked the first time an outsider has taken over the Pima County Attorney's Office and its $37 million budget since Dennis DeConcini back in 1972. Laura, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I'm pleased to be with you, Bill. I thought I might finally be back in the studio, but I do think we have reason to hope that next time we'll be in person.
Yeah,
and that's something to look forward to.
I hope so. We're going to try to get you on every couple of months for sure. Dylan Smith is with us on Liveline number two. Dylan, editor, publisher, founder of the now 11-year-old online news service. It's called TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's the immediate past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for local independent online news publishers. Dylan, how is your day going?
Hanging in there. It's a nice sunny day. I was trying to, you know, go get a little bit of sunlight and just kind of sit for a couple minutes quietly. It was, I think winter's over. Have we beaten the that back yet?
Well, winter is, I very much feels like spring, but we really need some kind of rain event, just one rain event all winter. Laura, how have the first 2 months been at the office? How are things there? I know you had some issues with COVID in the office. What's the situation now in the Pima County Attorney's Office?
Well, it's been extraordinary. As you mentioned, it's such an epic change for the building and for the institution. And yes, we had quite the outbreak. It was quite concerning. I want to report that everyone who was ill seems to be recovering. And it gave us a chance to realize that we needed a vaccination plan, which we pulled together quickly, and to advocate for the fact that many of our units are out working in the field. So we were able to communicate that to the county and educate the county about truly the logistics of the office and the services we provide, so we could get everyone vaccinated. And we've had good results with that. I'll tell you that closing the building ostensibly for the first time in its history was painful, especially because it remains a very paper-driven office, which we're going to be working on. So it was painful at the time, but I have to say, from an organizational standpoint, it also was a learning opportunity that I never could have had. I mean, it was literally like we lifted up the building and kind of shook the contents out to see really what we had, and it gave me a look at the entire organization, you know, the ways in which paper and cases actually move through the entire 21 floors, and it was an education that was incredibly important.
Pima County has not had a jury trial, Laura Conover, since March of 2020, when things really went south with COVID. It looks like they've been called off at least now through this March. It's really extraordinary. And I'm wondering about those accused, Laura Conover, to a constitutional right to a speedy trial. Would you address that, please, Laura?
Yes, I'd be happy to. It's going to be a full year without jury trials. It looks to be that we're under an administrative order through March 31. We met on Wednesday, and there is hope from the bench that we could try cautiously in April, that maybe that's the last time. But you're absolutely right, Bill. It's a huge concern for defendants, especially those in custody, and for victims who have been made to wait and to wait. Justice delayed can be justice denied, as the old saying goes. I will say that we got lucky, and we didn't run into that brick wall where someone was in custody and had to have a jury trial in order to have the resolution. We didn't hit that absolute Sixth Amendment right, but we planned for it in case it did happen, and we were looking at some pretty extreme measures about what kind of interesting and creative rooms could safely hold a jury trial if push came to shove. But so we'll see where April takes us.
Let's bring in Dylan Smith now into our conversation. Go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah. As you know, I've been asking you, your office, all of the other new county row officers, actually, about policy changes. What's new? What are you tackling? So, in these first, couple of months, what have you been able to change that you wanted to change? And what are you trying to get done a PDQ?
Dylan, thanks. And I'm really happy to be here with you. It was important to me, to the extent possible, to have an observation period and to observe the functioning of the office as much as I could to make sure that we're not throwing out the good work that's going on there. That being said, we do have two significant subcommittees working very, very hard already internally in the office on reforming the way in which we handle initial appearances. And by that, I mean the question of detention and the relationship with cash bail. And so while that's going to take a legislative change to completely end cash bail, there's a lot we can do internally in the way we handle initial appearances that can move us steadily away from it in the meantime. That's one area. The second area that's very exciting is we've got a significant committee, not only internally, but with stakeholders, with the defense bar, with some critical researchers, with some mediation experts, and the bench, the judges, on restorative justice and bringing a restorative justice program to Pima County, which we think would be the first in the state as far as the criminal justice system, of course, with a huge nod to our tribal brothers and sisters who've been relying on those principles since the beginning of time.
Laura, would you define restorative justice, please, for our listeners?
I would be happy to. The most simple concept behind it is the idea of coming together to try to restore a victim as near to whole as possible. And it's literally, when we picture it, it's literally a circle of chairs where people are facing each other and talking and being led by professionals through conversation in how a person accused of crime can express a willingness and a true and sincere desire to make up for the wrong and to find an agreement that would restore the victim back to before the incident. It's powerful. The data across the nation on other jurisdictions using it are just amazing. You know, it's powerful. It's truly therapeutic, and you get a really low recidivism rate. And by that, I mean you see people exiting the criminal justice system and not returning after getting an experience like that.
Would this be a great time to really get this going? When we look at the population of Arizona's prisons, it's down 11% during the COVID pandemic. Maybe now would be the good time as we come out of the pandemic in the post-COVID era to really push for something like restorative justice.
You're absolutely right, Bill, and I've been returning sort of to my core themes in saying, look, it's great that we're down 11% in the Department of Corrections. It's horrifying that it took a pandemic to get us there, but now it's incumbent upon us to ask ourselves, why do we need to lead the nation in incarceration? Why does America need to lead the world in incarceration? Why don't we agree with people out there who for the first time are saying, you know, we should only put people in prison if we really have to? Yes, indeed. You know, I regret that it took a pandemic to get us asking those questions, you know, the system itself, but that's okay. I'll take what I can get. And now we need to make sure we don't just fall back to old ways and habits and start making sure we are considering who must absolutely be separated from the community if there is truly an ongoing threat to the community, and for how long.
Dylan, do you want to jump in before I talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, or should I talk about Mona's first?
Well, I've got a few follow-ups on some of the specifics about changes in how you're handling things, but just in general first, before we get to that break, Laura Conover, you didn't have an opponent in the general election, but some of the folks who, let's just say, you know, were not inclined to vote for you describe you as soft on crime. And how do you respond to that characterization?
Well, I think that the first 8 weeks would show that just not to be true. You know, I think that people who were paying attention during the election period, and they certainly were extremely dialed in. You know, we saw that with the turnout. It's very clear that criminal justice reform takes low-level, nonviolent offenses, you know, mostly in the world of substance use disorders and mental illness, and moves that appropriately back into the medical and behavioral health arena. And what that does then is it leaves the budget for a DA's office to do the work it's supposed to be doing, which is going after the victim crimes and those who are actually causing harm in the community. And when you deliver time and resources to really talented litigators, prosecutors, that's not soft on crime. You know, you give really talented prosecutors extra time to look into like their child victim case, and there's nothing soft about that. It's a reframing of priorities, and also it frees up a chance also to really look into taking a deeper dive into preventing crime and being less reactive. You know, for decades, I think the office was reactive. If a case came in, it would be looked at, and that left the door open for what I've seen as just rampant fraud and scam.
All right, Dylan.
So when we roll out,
Dylan, I will let. Excuse me, Laura, go ahead, finish your thought, then I'm going to take a break.
So Sorry about that, Bill. I would just say that's the kind of investigative work, we're going to be doing when we open the fraud unit and not waiting for reports to come to us.
All right, Laura and Dylan, I'll tell you one thing. I'm real at a soft spot in my heart for Mona's Danish Bakery and their wonderful Danish Kringle. Just the word Danish conjures up just... what do you think of? You think of a lovely round pastry that Danish can carry over into what they do with their cinnamon rolls. Here I go again. I know about the cinnamon rolls, but they come in two sizes. They have the round, for want of like a mini Frisbee. And then, of course, they have like a cinnamon roll, like a dinner roll. And I can go either way with that, and I'm thinking about it already for the weekend. But Mona's Danish Bakery, if you're within this, well, if you're anywhere near Swan and Sunrise, northeast corner, right over there by Ace Hardware, why don't you stop by right now for lunch, pick up some bakery goods for the weekend. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. You can put in your order on the website. You can call ahead or go into the bakery, pick up your goods, leave, go into the bakery, sit down at the limited seating indoors, and there's some seating outdoors. But anyway, thank you to Steve, the owner and chief baker up at Mona's Danish Bakery, for his support of the work we do here. And now we're going to hear from others that have supported the Buckmaster Show through the years. Thank you to all of them. Be right back with Laura Conover and Dylan Smith right after this.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service now for the past 11 years. And Laura Conover is with us on the live line. Laura, 2 months into the office, and before we took the break, Laura, we were talking about the soft on crime reference. Dylan said that some of your critics have said that, and what I was referring to about Mona's was that I have a soft spot for Mona's Danish Bakery. That was the reference there. Just so you know.
I love it.
To clarify it. Anyway, before I get...
Let's not toss Flaky into the conversation.
Hey, Flaky, I like that. Dylan, before I give it over to you, Dylan, I know you've got some followers, but Laura, how is the morale in the office taking... I mean, this has been a big sea change, as they say, change in philosophy. So how are folks getting along?
It has been a big change, and I have to allow the troops breathing space. And so we're doing a lot of discussions. You know, it's unfortunate that it's all virtual. You know, so our meetings are over Teams or Zoom, and that certainly doesn't make it easy. But we're having ongoing discussions about, you know, frankly, what is criminal justice reform nationally? What does it mean here? What was the platform here? What does it look like here for our county? And I've been very pleased at the reception, especially in the criminal unit, open for change and open to looking at data-based policies that are driven by the stats and the collection of data rather than, you know, gut instinct or policies based on historical practices. In other words, well, this is what we do because we've always done it this way. And it's not easy to get away from that, you know, no doubt. But we're working on it together. I think it helps that the senior leadership team that came together is just a phenomenal group. They're inspiring, but they're also great managers. They're good listeners. They're good leaders, and people want to follow them. And so I'm just so lucky to be working with such talent.
All right. Now, Dylan, go ahead.
You know, certainly every time there's a change at the top, some turnover is to be expected. There have been a number of longtime experienced prosecutors leaving the office on the criminal side. Something that jumps out, though, is that one of those senior leaders on the civil side recently announced that he's retiring, even though you had kept him around. Andy Flagg, the chief civil deputy county attorney, is leaving. And why is he resigning?
I was going to say, I think we should switch the word to resigning. We don't want to age him, you know, and he has a long, wonderful career ahead of him, no doubt. He was the civil chief for many years for Ms. LaWall, and so I need to, of course, expect and respect that not everyone is going to want to come along with the new administration. You know, we need to make sure that all of our people and our chiefs, of course, are sharing the values and the mission and the philosophy going forward. And so I know that the next civil chief is going to serve the county administrator and the board of supervisors both competently in the legal representation and also with excellence. And it's a majority new board of supervisors as well. And so timing wise, it makes sense to bring in a new civil chief as well.
Dylan, would you like to follow up on any of the policy discussions that we had at the beginning and some of the changes that Laura's making in policy?
One that we didn't really touch on quite yet, when your first day in office, you've said that you were instituting a number of things immediately, changing how you approach cash bail, and we'll no longer pursue capital punishment death penalty cases. You won't ask for that penalty. But on immigration, you said that you were starting training to mitigate the consequences of local criminal charges in immigration cases. And what specifically are you doing in respect to that?
Yes, I'm very pleased to say that our very first all-attorney meeting in January, our first educational training, was on immigration consequences in the criminal legal system. We brought in Matt Green, who is one of the region's just top immigration attorneys and who also does a lot of teaching nationally. And what we're looking to do there, what's really common here in a large, binational community, is you'll get a lot of people, particularly kind of in the 18 to 25-year-old range, and they're legal permanent residents. Right, they're lawful permanent residents. They're what's considered an invited immigrant, just shy of the ability to eventually naturalize into citizens. And often they've lived their entire life here. That they're as American kids can be, and of course they're invincible at that age. Right, in 18 to 25, they're absolutely untouchable and invincible as American teenagers are, young adults, and they'll have a screw up, a very minor screw up, a simple possession, a disorderly, a DUI, what have you, a non-violent low level victimless offense, and they find themselves absolutely in shock that it's going to get them deported, to a land they don't even know and don't have any ties to. It unfortunately happens quite frequently. And it's incumbent on us that our prosecutors understand how to deal with that. That we don't want cases where we're not even seeking jail or prison time. We're wanting to intervene for young people. And we don't accidentally or unintentionally want to be taking part in signing the deportation order. Simple changes to the plea agreements that still give us the same exact outcome on the criminal side can prevent huge family separations like that. And so we just have to be wise to it.
I wanted to bring up the passage of Prop 207. How has that changed how you're approaching substance abuse laws? Are you trying to take the burden off the individual and kind of onto the office and maybe take a proactive stance, Laura Conover, to start clearing people's records?
Yes, I am very excited about this. Thank you for mentioning this bill. So there's an expungement provision in 207. And, my career of work with vulnerable populations, who are doing their best to work and take care of their families, we're going to have trouble even getting people aware and informed that there is an expungement provision, let alone asking people to take time off of work during the pandemic, figure out how to go downtown, file a motion if they can't afford an attorney, and try to get their record cleared. To me, that's just going to end up being an illusory benefit that hardly no one's going to take care of. So why not put it on myself? And so to that end, we put out an RFP, a request for proposal, We've reached out to Code for America. They've got data mining software that we can potentially lease to go into the case management systems for the state and find people ourselves who qualify, and then do it by stipulation and order. You know, we file the motions in the court because that's so easy for us. And wouldn't it be wonderful to just send out letters?
I was not aware. Excuse me, Laura. I just really wasn't too up to speed on this expungement part of that. This is kind of news to me. Maybe it's news to some of our listeners. That could have a big impact on people's lives that have that on their record.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right, and I'm not surprised. You know, it's buried in a massive bill, and so it's incumbent upon us to make sure that people do realize that they qualify, and because it's such a critical benefit. It's exactly where we want to go. We don't want people hung up forever and prohibited from housing and employment and education, you know, for something that happened years ago that they've recovered from.
Dylan, let's bring you back into the conversation.
Yeah,
Dylan Smith.
Well, can you clarify it for us? One thing I'm not sure about on that, because I haven't dug into it enough. Does that expungement apply only to offenses that involved marijuana, or is that extent outside of that? Or
207 is just marijuana. To the extent that we want expungement in Arizona, we do have some legislation moving forward on sealing records at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
I think it
complicates the process of, you know, when somebody gets convicted of a minor drug offense, it doesn't get recorded right in their record of their conviction exactly which narcotic it was. So then you have to go back and track down what they were holding.
Yes, precisely. Yeah, that's why I'm going to need some high-tech software to do
yeah.
It's not going to be an easy project, but definitely a rewarding one.
So, but it's not just as easy as saying that, you know, everyone who got convicted of, you know, this particular provision of the law, we can throw those out. You actually have to go dig down into every single person's case and figure out if it actually applies.
I think that's right. Yep. But it's not impossible. It's, you know, mm-hmm. California's had success with Code for America on doing exactly this kind of work. So we're looking forward to it.
Dylan, what is left on your list? I know you had a list, I had a list, and we've got about 3 minutes max.
Well, you can take it. It's your show.
So we've covered some ground here, and I'm glad we have about the bail bonds, some of the immediate priorities. Where are we right now? Are your people going back into the office, Laura Conover? Are you still pretty much remote? What's kind of the feeling there on how the staff is? Are you still spread out?
Yes, we are relying on the county and state health departments, and we have partners at the University of Arizona helping us manage it very carefully. So we've been moving people back in, but not, you know, rushing the building and having all, you know, hundreds of people go back in. We're doing it in a really meaningful way so that we're getting people eased back in sort of floor by floor with maximum numbers on each floor and just being as cautious as we can. And we're also on our second round of vaccination, which is, of course, something.
That is very good news. In the remaining minute or so, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming budget. This is going to be a very difficult budget year for Pima County, waiting to see what kind of federal money comes through to cover a lot of the COVID expenses. What are you doing as far as your preparation, Laura, for the upcoming fiscal year budget? Because before you know it, a month or so, those budgets will be due.
Yes, actually, Bill, my budget was due on day 10, because why not tackle everything
yep.
in your, you know, your first couple of weeks?
Sure.
They did give me a week extension, which was very, very lovely of them. And we have put in our proposal. We have we just pitched one item and one item alone, and that's to take the office paperless. It's well past time. It's a significant project, but we're positive it's going to be cost-saving. Even by year 2.5, 3, at that mark, we think it's going to be cost-saving. You wouldn't believe, toner and paper alone. So we have big plans to finally be paperless, and it's very, very exciting.
But generally, the budget will be in line with the budget that you inherited?
Yes. This will be my first budget, and I think it goes officially to the board in May. So we'll continue our preparations to get ready for it.
All right, Laura, we'll have you on the program before that for sure. And hopefully you'll be with me here in studio at KVOI. Thank you very much, Laura Conover.
Looking forward. Take care, both of you.
Thank you very much.
See you.
All right, Dylan, stick around. Stay on the live line. We will be back to you after we take a break. And it's Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I've got a couple of questions for Dylan. Those are coming up right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com. Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Little sounds of Steely Dan. Bring that up a bit, will you, Tom? There you go. Little Steely Dan on a Friday afternoon, the final Friday of February. Let's bring Dylan Smith, the editor, publisher of now 11-year-old Tucson Sentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Dylan, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of when we stopped counting on the calendar, didn't we?
Yeah, today is, which day of March is this again?
Yeah, it all just went. It all
March,
went.
March 350th.
That's yeah, it's been
March 350th.
Yeah, what a crazy year. Are you feeling a little better about where we are in the community on the pandemic, Dylan Smith?
You know, some of the numbers, quite a large number of the data points that we have to look at on a rolling basis are looking better. That doesn't mean we're anywhere near out of the woods. If people think this is over and start acting like it's over, we're going to see another spike that could be just as bad as the one we just went through in December and the beginning of January. Still have to be careful. It's, there are new variants that are even more contagious circulating now. And just because the number of cases are down and the number of people in hospitals, thank God, are down, that, doesn't mean it's going away magically. We've got to, still conduct ourselves accordingly until a whole lot more people get vaccinated.
Yeah, we're really just on the tip of this whole thing and the vaccination scale. There's so much more to go on that front. Dylan, quickly on the worldview story, you guys had at TucsonSentinel.com had a story about worldview and the judge, a Superior Court judge that ruled basically the Goldwater Institute's concerns about the Pima County, the way they handled the Goldwater situation. The gift clause really was needed to be thrown out the window. Is this the end of the legal action against Pima County by Goldwater?
Well, this is the last portion of a multifaceted lawsuit that the Goldwater Institute filed back in 2016 about this deal that Pima County struck to basically do a lease, build the suit deal with Worldview. And this judge, a Superior Court judge, ruled that this final piece was just as invalid as Goldwater's other objections. The Goldwater Institute, conservative / libertarian interest group, says they're going to try and appeal that. They've tried to appeal previously. And the other portions of this lawsuit, there were two other significant chunks of it. They both lost on, tried to appeal up to the Supreme Court, and got turned down on both of those. So is this likely the end of that challenge? Seems to be, although you've got to let things play out in court to the very bitter end.
Does Worldview have a presence still in Tucson, Dylan?
Yeah, they're still there. They've been, somewhat scaled back over the past year in their efforts. Certainly they have launched a couple of those, very high altitude balloons over the last several months and say that they are going to, expand what they're doing in 2021. Of course, their job projections have, not come to fruition. They were supposed to, when they started, they said they would have about 400 employees by this point. And, last year, without the pandemic, they had about 100. Right now, I don't really know how many people they are actually employing. They've got kind of a reprieve because of the pandemic within their arrangement with the county, just because there was no way they could have people crowded into a building working on these balloons.
What's coming up at TucsonSentinel.com that you would like to direct our listeners to? Any particular stories?
Well, we've got a couple of things that we are investigating that I can't really talk about publicly quite yet because we're not quite sure what's going on. We've got a number of things that may or may not be happening in the immediate future as far as local politics go. The deadline for the attempt to recall Tucson Mayor Raheena Romero is right upon us. It seems like the organizers don't have the number of signatures on petitions that they need. We'll see if they can manage to get a few more people to sign that over the next, well, basically they've got one more day, and then next week have to turn those in so that they can be, if they think they have enough, have to turn them in, which might trigger a recall election. We don't know quite yet if there's actually going to be a city election in Tucson. The state Supreme Court is due any day to announce what's going on in the lawsuit between the state and the city about whether Tucson needs to move its elections from odd years to even years.
All right, Dylan Smith, one of the pioneers in the online publishing world. When Dylan started TucsonSentinel.com 11 years ago, there really weren't that many operations like the Sentinel, but this particular part of the news business has really exploded. From Seattle to the Virgin Islands, there are now online news services, and really all over the world. So, Dylan, I think you were ahead of the game.
Yeah. A little bit. Certainly there were some who came, long before us. I helped, a decade ago start a national association. It's called Lion Publishers, Local Independent Online News Publishers. It's all about, rebuilding the local news business from the ground up instead of top down with the formulaic chain version. And now there are hundreds of us all over the country doing authentically local news that's, all about the place where someone is, living, building a business, committing journalism, reporting on. And Lion has a couple of initiatives going, one of which is
real quickly,
looking
Dylan,
to seed another 500 local news organizations around the country over the next several years. So even as, chain media is slowly dying out, there are things sprouting up all over the place, and we're really proud of that.
All right. Dylan Smith, thank you very much. Have a great weekend, Dylan.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. Buckmaster Show continues with Weekend Watch and Matt Russell right after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. All right, it is time for the Weekend Watch, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, who urge the Buckmaster Show listeners to start their planning now for when New Mexico opens up, and I think that day is fast approaching. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, and you will find all sorts of ideas about where to stay and what to do in a beautiful area just about 3 hours from Tucson. Southwest New Mexico.org. Now, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you, buddy?
I am doing great. A big TGIF to you, sir.
A big TGIF. And what if I'm in the mood for a little bit of a jazz Friday, buddy?
Absolutely. You know, the weekend kicks off tonight at Baccio Italiano on University Boulevard for their Friday night jazz event, a blend of live music and authentic Italian cuisine. The action gets underway at 6 o'clock tonight with the After Hours Jazz Duo performing all the great standards, which I think pair perfectly with these classic dishes from Baccio, from their pastas and pizzas to carbonara and cannoli. And when Big Mike is behind the bar, you can expect a show in and of itself. But sounds like a great way to kick off the weekend at Baccio.
The food conspiracy was really in the forefront of food cooperatives in the United States. I understand they have a big anniversary.
You know what? If you can believe it, they have been serving Greater Tucson from their 4th Avenue location for 50 years, Bill Buckmaster. 50 years. And this weekend, the entire weekend is dedicated to this milestone. They're going to have special coupons, food and merchandise discounts, and they're going to be releasing a special beer that they helped to brew with their neighbors at Crooked Tooth Brewing Company. It's called Conspiracy Abundance. You can buy bottles there. You can get it on tap at Crooked Tooth. Swing by the co-op this weekend to say happy 50th.
Has the Sunday brunch returned to Commoner yet, Matt?
I have been so excited to announce this. They've been taking a bit of a brunch break over the past few months. But yes, Commoner & Co. on Sunrise and Kolb has brought its signature Sunday brunch back. Sundays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., you're going to get Chef Kyle Nottingham at his absolute morning best with a host of imaginative dishes, a memorable menu of mimosas and cocktails. This is one of my favorite brunches. You know, I'm always looking for memorable brunches, and Sunday mornings at Commoner & Co. definitely deliver.
It is great to have Commoner & Co. back into the Sunday brunch game, Matt. They've done always a terrific job. Let's check now on the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. What have you dished up this week?
Well, you know, March, which is just a couple of days away, March is National Sauce Month. Yes, an entire month dedicated to saucery. And I sat down with a local chef who has created, check it out, 23 distinct sauces for his chicken wings. Now, if I'm doing my math correctly, that's almost one a day for the entire month. So you can read that saucy story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Give me that again, Matt. How many sauces?
Okay, yes. So this chef has created 23 different sauces for his chicken wings. He tells me that his personal recipe book has over 40 sauces, but he kind of rotates them in and out. So if you're looking for a chicken wing that'll satisfy every personality and palate, you can read this article and head over to where this chef is presiding at the back of the house.
We will look for it at Inside Tucson Business. Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Great to have you back in the saddle after a little break that you took over to the Golden State. Good to have you with us, and have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt.
Great. Back at you, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation, however you want to say it, of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. That particular organization, which I head, is wholly responsible for the content of The Buckmaster Show. Original theme music is composed by our German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, the entire team in the Bustos Media Tucson operation. All of us are wishing you a very safe and pleasant weekend.